Hello, potatoes. Welcome to the 29th episode of African Couch Potato, the mashup. It is still January, the longest month of the year. And I say this because there are 5 Mondays in January. This is the 4th episode of this month. There will be another one next month. And I will be saying compliments of the new year and happy new year, bro, for the next week to come. In this episode, though, I want to do things slightly differently. And I want to start by telling you guys a story. It's been raining quite a lot in Johannesburg. I saw this when I got back from Mozambique, where it was always hot. I usually go away for my birthday. It's for about 13 days. So from the 1st of January to the 13th, which is when my birthday is, I'm out chasing sunshine and collecting pools. So when I came back, I was very shocked that it rained almost every day. And with schools now open again, everybody's rocking dry mags and raincoats, which reminded me of when I was a kid. So as a kid, I took a bus for most of my, well, all of my school life. We would have raincoats and dry mags, and they were big enough for you to cover your backpack. So you'd put your backpack on and then you'd put the raincoat on afterwards. And on a good day, you would get to school cold and wet, but you still got to school. On a bad day, the bus would leave you because you were either late in the morning, and if it was after school, it was because you're trying to convince a fellow classmate to love you back. Anyways, it was on one of these rainy days when one of my friend's sister was driving home in her car. So on her way, she passed Robert Carruthers, which is a primary school in Witbank, which is where I'm from. Everybody knows Robert Carruthers, that side. It's where the buses would pass. So a normal route on the bus is that you'd go past Witbank High, Robert Carruthers, STAS, which was my old school, short for St. Thomas Aquinas School, and Technis, which is a technical school for people who want to specialize in woodwork. So while this auntie was driving, she saw a Robert Carruthers pupil standing in the rain waiting for transport. Because it was pouring so badly, she decided to pull over and asked her to jump into the car. The little girl was shivering, so the auntie asked her to just point into the direction that they were headed and they'll get to her place. So that's what the little girl did. She pointed, they turned left, they went left again, they turned right by the robots, they carried on straight by the next stop, and so on until they got to the girl's house. The auntie then turned around to confirm with the girl that they were at the right place, and the little girl nodded. She looked very, very cold. The auntie hooted, beep, beep, to get the attention of her parents. She looked up at the rearview mirror to check on the girl again because she was worried, and the girl still looked very cold. In fact, she looked almost frozen with her eyes wide open and her skin was very pale. Eventually, the mom walks out of the house with an umbrella and makes her way to the gate. She swings one of the gates open and approaches the auntie's window. The auntie rolls down the window and explains that, listen, I saw a little girl standing in the rain after the bus said lift, and I decided to give her a lift. She's been pointing me in this direction, so I'm hoping that this is her house. The mom immediately broke down and started crying. Auntie was shocked, so she asked the mom if she's okay, and the mom just kept on crying. Confused, the auntie turned around to ask the girl what was happening, and there was no one in the back seat. The girl had disappeared. She looks around the car and couldn't see her. She explained to the mom that she got here to this house because a little girl who was standing in the rain had jumped into the car and given her directions to get here. After the mom had calmed down, she then explains to the auntie that her daughter had passed away in a car accident a couple of years ago, and that every year on the same day, somebody rocks up at the gate saying that her daughter directed them home. So I started wondering, there are so many stories like this that we have all heard. Some people have seen their grandmothers or grandfathers visiting them at night. Others would have gone to a hotel and found an old white man watching TV with them who refuses for them to change the channel. And that leads me to today's topic. Do you believe in ghosts? While looking for something to watch this week, I stumbled upon a documentary series called The Enfield Poltergeist on Apple TV. I know a lot of listeners are not on Apple TV, but I would suggest that you get it. There's a free trial, so when you buy any Apple product like an iPhone, you get a free version for a month. And even if you don't buy an Apple product, you can have a free version or a free trial for 7 days, and you can binge on everything. They've got a very small catalog, so 7 days is enough for you to find something you love, watch it, and let go of it. The Enfield poltergeist is based on a true story. A poltergeist is an angry spirit that has taken over a particular space, so a home, and it can move things around. Furniture, spoons, beds, pots, paintings, everything. From 1977 to 1979, there was a house on 284 Green Street in Enfield, London, where a lot of weird things were happening. A divorced mother of four stayed there with three of her children, and almost every night things got flung around and moved across the room. These activities were especially targeted at Janet, who was 11 years old at the time. What makes this four-part series so different is that they use a scientist to try and confirm and explain the presence of this ghost. So this scientist went to the house. He started doing interviews with the family, and he would stay over in the evenings to try to record things that were happening. Once he had some evidence of some supernatural or paranormal activity, he shared his findings, and even your bigger newspapers like the Daily Mirror from London would send reporters and a photographer there to capture what was happening. It caused such a buzz that even the BBC sent one of their radio journalists to go and check things out at this house. What you're seeing in each episode, they've used original tape recordings to then reenact the story. So this is a technique that I haven't seen before. Usually reenactments are silent, or they have people dramatizing something, but in their own way. What makes this kind of reenactment particularly strict is the actor has to copy what was said in the original tapes, and that recording from the original tapes gets dubbed over their performance. So you have to act like somebody, speak like somebody, use their mannerisms, and even pause where that person pauses, because the original tape is your script. There's no liberty for you to paraphrase or to say things the way that you would like to say them. Anyways, like I mentioned, this story, which is based on true events, reportedly, was so big that in 2016, they did a movie called The Conjuring 2, which was a dramatized version of all of these findings at 284 Green Street. After watching that, I asked myself, what are some of the scariest horror movies that I've watched? And that's the list that I'll be taking you guys through today. It's 10 horror films that I have watched and I feel everybody needs to watch. It is a personal list, so don't expect to find things like The Exorcist here. I'm just letting you know what made the hair on my arms stand up or me jump off the couch while I was watching them. Number one is The Exorcism of Emily Rose. I watched this in my first year when I was in varsity at the tender age of 19 years old. I went to a female friend's res. I thought I was going to get kisses. I ended up getting a screening of what was the scariest thing I've watched in my life. What happens in Emily Rose is you have a girl, a teenager. She gets sent to a new school, a boarding school, and something starts happening in her room. Her pencils fall over and she thinks maybe it's the wind, but the windows are closed. So she picks them up and then they fall over again. What makes Emily Rose and the exorcism of her so scary is that it's rooted in religion. So there is a pastor who gives an account of the story, because at the end, okay, I won't tell what happens at the end, but the pastor tries to tie everything to the Bible to explain that they are demonic spirits that are alive and walking and moving among us, and that this girl was not crazy, as diagnosed by one of the doctors who said that she was just being schizophrenic. So for me, it's how they rooted everything in religion, and with most of us being Christians, it's, is there a Satan? Are the evil spirits that dwell among us? The second one is The Conjuring, the first one, not the 2016 one, which was a version of the ghost story that happened in Enfield. The third one is Insidious from 2010. Number four is Mirrors from 2008. What happens in Mirrors is that there is a force that lives in anything that causes or has a reflection. So either a mirror, a glass, a puddle of water, and how this spirit possesses you is you see your own reflection and then it takes over. So you'll be brushing your teeth and you're looking in your bathroom mirror, and then all of a sudden you're brushing your teeth, but your reflection is not. And that's how you know that the spirit is one there. And then it takes over your body and forces you to do things. For example, there's one scene where there's a guy who breaks a glass and then starts chewing on that glass, which cuts his throat and he bleeds internally. Yeah, that's the kind of stuff I'm into. Number 5 is called Mama. So the concept of this one is a bit twisted. There's an evil spirit. That's the theme of this episode, evil spirits. And this evil spirit finds 2 girls, young girls, in the forest and decides to look after them. Then the girls have to get reunited with their uncle, but the spirit doesn't want the girls to leave them because she is their mama. So the rest of the movie is in how this spirit is protecting, seemingly, these girls from the rest of the world without realizing that it is the problem and that it is dead and should let go of the living world. Number 6 is more disgusting than it is horrific. It's called The Human Centipede. It came out in 2009. There is a scientist who is trying to create the largest single-tract digestive system by taking a group of people that he has kidnapped, and he sews their mouths to each other's bums. So when the first one eats, he passes it through his system and out at the back, and then the next mouth eats, and it passes through to the next one, and the next one, and the next one. And it eventually gets to the last person. So if you are body part number 7 of this human centipede, there are 6 people in front of you who have eaten and digested something coming from someone else, except for the first person. And he just studies it to see how human bodies can cope with food that has been digested and if it still has enough nutrition to sustain them or if they will die. Mm. Number 7 is The Blair Witch Project, which a lot of people are familiar with. A couple of kids in the woods with a camera. They run around, find spooks, drop some stuff. It's found a year later. People watch it and get freaked out. Number 8 is Silence of the Lambs with Anthony Hopkins and Jodie Foster. This was a 1991 one. So this is more of a psychological thriller more than it is a horror. So sometimes people just scare you by putting things into your mind, as opposed to you seeing anything horrible happen on screen. The only scary part of this is when Anthony Hopkins starts eating human flesh that he has skinned off some of these girls, known as the lambs. Number 9 is the Final Destination franchise, all of them. And what Final Destination taught us in high school growing up is that you could die literally from anything. So every time a truck is in front of you and it's carrying a lot of logs, you just pray that none of them fall down and come through the front windscreen and hit your head and it like bursts. The fact that it had such an impact on my life to this day means I am super paranoid about even the little things. Like if you're going to leave the iron on, make sure it's not next to wood. In fact, don't even leave the iron on to begin with. When you're done ironing, unplug it. If you've boiled the kettle, put it back where it's supposed to be. Don't put it aside because it might slip, fall, kill a child or two. So I panic when I see certain things which other people would perceive as normal. And it's all because of Final Destination. And it happens in those moments where you see a girl running around and then there's a bird flying too low and you think, yo, this bird is going to hit the child in her head and she's going to have a beak up her eye and bleed to death or something like that. And the last one, number 10, is called 8. It's a South African horror story. I referenced it earlier on in episodes from last year. It came out in 2019. It was beautifully done. It's about the spirit world and how it's intertwined with the real world. Again, there's nothing super horrific that happens. It's just that psychology of what happens when we die and can dead people come back in the form of a spirit or reincarnate in the form of a grasshopper or a moth. That was my list of the top 10 scariest things that I have watched. If you have your own list of horrors, please feel free to email them to me at justginaessay@gmail.com, or you can head over to our African Couch Potato pages on social media and give me the details. Please also don't forget to send in voice notes. Once we get those voice notes from you, we will feature you on the show. We won't pay you anything. We're not getting paid anything, but you'll have fame. And we will put that snippet up front. And after that snippet, I will review what you asked me to review it. And then I'll tag you on social media and we'll both become famous and we'll make millions and we'll take African couch potato to levels beyond what I imagined. For now, goodbye and keep benching.